All my witches, listen up. If family's not giving up, stand your ground when they're in town, girl. All you've got to say is...
Hello and welcome to another episode of Goddess Hangs.
Episode 102.
Woo! Oh my gosh. I'm Sadie.
I'm Juliet.
Obviously. And we created the Goddess Hangs podcast to make the world of mindset, magic, and manifestation more relatable
and fun.
Wow. And we have a really fun episode planned for today. Mm-hmm. I think it was last year we had a really popular episode called Energetic Boundaries for the Holidays. So you can go check that out. But we wanted to revisit that. We're a year older. We're a year wiser.
A year wiser.
We've gone through some things with our family, and we thought, let's revisit it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know me, I like to understand the science behind the magic.
Always.
So I have some really interesting things to share about the science of gratitude and something really surprising. We have been doing our gratitude practices all wrong.
What?
Yeah, like completely wrong. And I have the science and I have the way to like make it actually powerful and actually work. And it's completely different than what we've been telling people and what everyone shares out there. It's really interesting. So I'm excited to share it.
Okay, I'm ready.
I know. Juliet's going to learn some new things today. Before we dive into that, what's new with you?
Oh my gosh. Well, we just had, when this episode comes out, we're recording this 2 weeks before, because what's new with me is I will have just come back from Memphis, Tennessee. So next week I'll tell you how that went.
Yes.
But I'm sure it'll be magical. I'm going to Graceland. We're going to do just everything we can while we're there. We're staying at the Peabody, which is where they have the March of the Ducks.
I was like, it sounds familiar, but I can't put my finger on why I know that name.
And it's the historic hotel where Elvis attended his prom.
Oh, wow.
It's a whole Elvis trip that my mom and I are doing.
You have to take some notes if you feel any, like, energy, any spirit activity with so much history there. That's exciting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I will. So that's what's new with me. So yesterday was Victor's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
He turned 27. He's finally late 20s.
27-year-old.
He's finally late 20s. Yeah, when I met him, he was 21, and it's felt
crazy.
Like, it was like, oh my God, he'll never be late 20s. Like, he was always like 22, 23, 24. Finally, when he turns 30, I mean, I always joke that, like, yeah, honey, and when I'm 55, you'll be 32. Like,
because I just feel like, the gap just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
It's like almost 4.5 years, but for some reason in my head, like, every year it grows a year.
Yeah.
But we had such a nice birthday for him. We went to dinner, but I did something very kind of wild and exciting.
Oh, mildly wild?
Yeah.
But tell us about it.
So, I mean, it's not like in that way, but so I decided that I was going to gift him plane tickets somewhere.
Ooh.
And also gift myself. And we were thinking about New York because we had such a fun time there last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was about to click buy on the tickets because we've been talking about New York, New York, New York. Something was like, no, check Italy. So we're going to Italy for 2 weeks in end of April, early March.
Oh my God.
We've never been on a long trip together.
Oh, Italy is my favorite place in the whole world.
I'm so
excited. It's going to be so magical. Where are you flying into?
We're flying into Rome.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we have 2 weeks and then we're flying out of Rome. So we'll figure out where we're going to go, what we're
going to
do.
You have to go to Florence. I didn't.
Okay.
I flew into Rome, but I didn't spend time there. And you should definitely spend time there, of course. But Florence is like, it's for an artist, like, it's just the art history there, you know, there's art history all over Italy and all over Europe, but there's something about Florence, it just, you know, and I went there when I wasn't psychic or in tune with those things, but it's thick with, like,
ooh,
artistry, creativity. Oh. It's so romantic, like, I had to have lived a very, like, romantic, passion-filled life there, because when I'm there, I'm just like, oh, it's amazing.
Okay, I'll add
Italy.
That to the list. We gotta figure it out.
And all the coffee and the food and the pasta and the pizza and the gelato. Oh my God. It's so good.
It was one of those things where, you know, when my grandpa passed away, he left me a little bit of money, mm-hmm. and I just put it in an account and just let it sit. And yeah. I always said it would be like for my wedding dress. And then did she get a bath? She's like so soft.
No, but we've spray her with this stuff every single day. It's very traumatizing for her. But no,
but it makes her really silky.
It keeps the fleas away. And
look how happy she is. Look,
every morning she knows when I'm gonna spray her, and she clings to me and she starts shaking, and I'm like, it's one spritz, boo, to like, so you don't get sick and you don't itch and you're happy. Yeah, look, I'm talking about you.
Look, I'm touching her butt and she's chill. And oh, look who's so happy.
I guess she just keeps her cleaner somehow because the fleas aren't attaching to her. She's such a flea magnet.
Oh yeah, she's very clean. Okay, so anyways, back to my Italian. So anyways,
so you have the money from your grandpa.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I'll buy a wedding dress with it. And then I realized this past year, I was like, well, I want to wear my mom's. Like, she vacuum sealed it. It needs the like 80s sleeves removed.
A little.
But everything else is beautiful. And so I was like, I don't know. I just got this nudge from my grandfather that was like, honey, like, go do something. Like, go enjoy your life. And so it was kind of like a scary investment
because it's pricey. It's big, but yeah.
It felt so activating and exciting. Oh, and God. That what got me was in the more... I've always watched these reels and TikToks of these just, you know... women traveling the world, and I always think, oh, that'd be so cool if that was me.
I know, I have a travel bug.
The only thing that will make that me is if I go for it.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited.
I have so many more things to say about Italy. We'll have a whole Italy episode. I can share more of my stories, and we'll hear about yours, mm-hmm. and it'll be. Oh, I love Italy.
I'm so excited. So that's, I would say, the biggest thing new with me. And Victor's not. He's happy all the time, but like when you get him like a gift, he doesn't have like an over the top reaction. He'll be like, thanks. Mm. And so sometimes shopping for him is like, he's not the most like fun person to give a gift to because his reaction is very sweet and very grateful, but it's not like a, he doesn't put on.
That's
like
surprising that he's not a dramatic reactor. Craig's the same way. Like, I'll bug him, what do you want? Like, you know, what would make you happy? And then he's like, nothing, nothing, nothing. So I try and do, and it's just like, oh, thanks.
Right, and it's like,
I try to do really thoughtful, big.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, but not yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that's big.
I've never seen this man behave and act like this, and I got a love letter of a text today, and I mean, he every 2 minutes outside, he'd go, Italy.
Really, I think cute. It would have been a major red flag if he was like, oh, thanks.
I would have been like, fine, I'll take somebody else.
Oh my God.
So we're going to go and be. And I kept thinking about when we were in Vegas last year.
Yes,
and we kept going, Italy, Italy. Manifested.
Wow.
So next year, we're going to do our San Diego retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Our final Patreon fair. As we go. Oh, our second and last Patreon exclusive retreat. We're just going to do a travel company in the future. It's so much easier for us.
Yeah.
And we get to enjoy it more and not plan it.
Yeah.
And then if the changes need to be made or questions are asked, it goes to the company, and it's worth it. So for everybody, it's better for everybody. So, yeah, we're going to go to San Diego in January. Mm-hmm. We'll see if there are any spots left by the time this comes out. If you want to come, mm-hmm. DM us. We'll let you know if there's a spot left.
Yes.
It's going to be amazing. So San Diego. Italy.
I'm going to Mexico, for a wedding with Craig's family in April. And you're going in April? You're traveling
end
in April
of April.
Too? Well, April, neither of us will be in LA, but at the same time, it sounds like. So we'll have to do some pre-recording or maybe some recording via Zoom
abroad.
On location. That could be fun, too.
That could be fun.
And then Bali in July.
Bali, and then hopefully over to Thailand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're just...
World travelers.
So that's pretty much the biggest, newest, most thrilling thing. And it just... And then we also, okay, when again, this is being released a couple weeks late, but this full moon we just went through, oh my gosh, I released so much. I feel like a new person. Yeah. I also got my period on the full moon, which helps. But I just feel like a new lady, and to like let all that move through me and then decide, like, you know what, I'm just gonna do this. I'm gonna do this.
Plus, we had like heavy rain for the days around the full moon.
Storms.
And we never get that. Mm-mm. It does that like maybe once a year. And that just felt like so divine to have the heavy rain, like the 3 days of the full moon energy. And it just like, yeah, it just never rained. So it just felt like the whole like freaking LA was getting its cleansing, it's releasing.
Yeah,
I loved it. Really good.
I loved it. So that's what's new with me. Very exciting. What's new with you?
Well, I guess I forgot. I was like, I don't have anything new with me, but we're going to Mexico.
World travelers.
And Craig and I, besides me really tagging along with him on a couple tour dates, like we've never really taken, he's come home with me before. I've gone with him when he's touring a little bit, if it's a place that I have a friend or something, but we've never really like gone on like a vacation together. Yeah, it's crazy because we've both been with our partners for a very long time. You know, Craig travels for work so much that like when I'm like, oh, like I want to go, you know, to New York and see friends, like he doesn't want to go along because he loves my friends, but like he's like, I want a plane every weekend for work. Like there's no way on an off week am I getting on a plane, which I get. It's just kind of a bummer. Like even with Bali, he's like, I don't know, that's such a long travel day, and like I just want to be home when I'm not working. And I was like, I get it, but it's freaking Bali. But anyways, so his cousin, who, because Craig's half Mexican and he still has family that lives in Mexico, so his cousin's getting married, and so we're flying into Mexico City and spending some time there, which I've never been to Mexico City. And his mom's so cute, she's like, we have to take Zadie to do all the best things. We're gonna go to the pyramids and we're gonna go to the Frida Kahlo Museum, and I'm gonna be given the full tour. And then the wedding is in Valle de Bravo, which I guess is a place where a lot of people in Mexico City like go to for their weekend getaways. I think it's like a beautiful lake area.
Wow.
And his family, I think, has a home there that they vacation in, so we'll be going and seeing that area, and I get to go to the wedding. It'll be super fun, so I'm very excited to do that, and it'll just be fun to go to Mexico with Craig and like be with his family. So I'm excited. The coven meeting was amazing. I'm just so happy that we did this little bit of a switch up. And before, we were meeting once a month and just sort of picking topics based on what we saw coming up in the group and what we felt excited to talk about. But we shifted it to now meeting twice a month, and like before the full moon and the new moon. And it just feels so good to be in the group energy, working with the moon's energy. I'm for sure like a lazy witch, and I'll just be like, you know, I'll in my head I'll say what I'm releasing or whatever. Like I still acknowledge the moon cycles, but it feels good to sit together in community and do a ritual and meditate together and be really just more intentional. So I'm just excited to keep doing this, because that first full moon ritual we did together was like so freaking powerful.
It was such a good one. Truly people were saying it was the most powerful meditation they'd ever been a part of.
Yeah,
and we felt it too. Like I feel very free after that one. So you can always join our coven if you want to work with us and the moon twice a month. It's really fun. It's really magical. It's really powerful.
And then we have, so at the time of recording this, Psychic Circle is about to launch. At the time of this episode coming out, it's open. Probably quite a few of you are a part of it.
Thank you. Welcome.
Welcome. We love to have you here. And we've also, I believe, completed our first call together.
And I'm going to say it went great.
Wow. It was incredible. Chills. I actually do have kind of a chill. Like, it's going to be so great.
It is.
But Psychic Circle is our new membership style opportunity to work with us in intuitive development. And it's great for the beginner to intermediate person who's interested in developing your intuition and even psychic gifts. So we meet twice a month for this mentorship style membership. We're doing master classes, workshops, practice sessions together, and it's just an opportunity to work very closely with us, connect to other people who are also interested in developing their intuition, and it's incredibly cash flow friendly to be in mentorship with us. And we're just so excited. We're so lit up every time we get to hop on live calls with groups of you. So this felt just like the yummiest, most fun way to do intuitive mentorship, because we've been getting just, I don't know how many. Countless...
I can't even open my door. Yeah. There's so many letters.
So many of you. Yeah,
no, but there have been a lot of
emails. And so this felt like the most exciting way for us to do this. Yeah. So we're so excited to be connecting with you in this new way. So welcome to those of you who have joined us. And if you're thinking about it and have any questions, DM us on Instagram at goddesshangs or email us goddesshangs@gmail.com. But the link is below. You can check it all out. Mm-hmm. I know we're already having lots of fun in there. And I think that's all that's new with me. I've just been in the moon energy, relaxing. Craig's been touring nonstop. He's home about 2 days a week, so I've had a lot of alone time.
But you love that.
You know, I dare say it, I a little bit too much.
Oh no! Are you thinking too much? Is that what's happening?
No, I'm just like, wow, I talk to the cats a little bit too much.
Hi, lady.
And I really should maybe be a little bit more social. You know, just kind of had like cabin fever.
And also it was raining.
Like Saturday I went to go get my nails done and I was like, Carly, I really needed this. I was like, I know you're on the clock doing my nails, but I really needed this social time. Like Craig's barely home, but he's got, well, when this comes out, he's like home from Thanksgiving like through Christmas. He's got like 6 weeks off, which is so amazing. Oh, and then the other thing is that I booked my tickets to go home for Christmas for a week, which I'm very excited to see my family.
Oh, that'll be so nice.
And yeah, that's what's new with me. Just been hanging out with my cats a lot. Missing my boyfriend.
Oh, well, she knows. She's being extra sweet.
Oh, yeah. Boo is so funny. Like, when Craig's gone, she barely goes outside. And then when he's here, she's, like, gone all day. Like, she totally is like, Mom needs me.
Oh.
We have a special bond, don't we, Boo Boo?
Yeah.
She's so sweet.
And she's so sweet. She knows that I live for this kitty cuddle time.
Yeah.
So she jumps right on.
And then when Craig's home, she, like, cuddles with him more. Because she knows that, like, he's not home as much. It's very cute. But yeah.
What a thoughtful lady.
She's very thoughtful.
So thoughtful.
So, you know, I'm just so grateful for Boo. And let's talk about gratitude. Talk about boundaries.
Tell me how I've been doing gratitude wrong.
Okay. So.
Or tell me whatever you want to tell us in whatever order you want to tell us.
Let's talk about the science of gratitude, which to me is also the magic of gratitude. Okay. So. I listened to a podcast with, I really like this, I believe he's Dr. Huberman. I think his Instagram handle is at Huberman Lab, and that's also the name of his podcast. I really enjoy following him. He's a, now the words are escaping me. Neuroscientist at Stanford, and he has this really popular podcast, and he talks about all sorts of topics about biohacking, the chemicals in your brain, you know, for longevity, for quality of life, for so many things. He talks about food and sleep and anything you could possibly think about, always relating back to your brain and your general well-being. So I think this episode was from 2021, if I recall correctly, but I'm going to sort of summarize the points about what I was talking about, but go look him up if you want to really hear about like the science with all of the science-y words that I'm not going to remember, if you're into that like I am. But it was incredibly interesting. So to start out, what's interesting and what many of us experience is that as humans, we are sort of wired for unhappiness. It's easier for us to be unhappy than it is for us to be happy. And that's because we're wrapped up in our defense mechanisms. So it's not that it's very scientific. It's like our defense mechanisms have more of a purpose. So they take the forefront. They have more resiliency. They're something that are very like automatic in us, whereas our happiness, our joy, it doesn't serve a survival-based purpose. So it's something that we actually have to be much more intentional about versus our bodies and defense mechanisms. That's for survival. So it's just, it's on a higher priority list of our circuitry in our brains, which makes sense if you think about it.
Right. The happiness doesn't necessarily keep us alive.
It doesn't have a survival-based purpose. So he talks about the pro-social circuits, and these are the circuits in our brain that are related to happiness, closeness to ourselves, and also closeness to others. Okay. And this is basically what we want to exercise, are these pro-social, and it doesn't actually mean pro-social. Social does not relate to like social in a community aspect of like being social. It's that relativity, relating to ourselves, relating to others, and relating to sense of happiness, joy, well-being.
Okay.
So this is what we're trying to work on, is the pro-social circuits. So gratitude, of course, has wonderful mental benefits. We know that, right? Like it's like it brings us happiness, it grounds us in what's good in our lives, but it's also found to have physical benefits, like for our cardiovascular health, for that was one specifically named, but various physical benefits. So it's we're not just practicing gratitude to like be happy, it's actually good for us in all ways.
I love that. It sort of is like how we talk about how different emotions have different frequencies.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me what to you is an effective gratitude practice as of right now before I dive in.
Okay, I'm ready to be sliced in half.
And so, don't question it.
So I thought it would be thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for this, going down the list and trying to feel it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, so
make it better.
So, okay, right. So the ineffective practice that is preached far and wide and that we ourselves have taught, it's not that that's bad to do, but it's not effective in rewiring our brain and in deepening those pro-social circuits so that it's more of a natural place for us to exist. But yeah, the common thing is to like write 3 things a day or write 5 things a day and then get into the feeling, that like feeling of gratitude. That actually doesn't do much for us in the long term. Maybe in the moment it feels good, but it's not effective in prolonging that sense of gratitude, that happiness. So what's effective, instead of giving gratitude and saying I'm grateful for this, it's actually receiving gratitude.
Oh.
So our brains need context. So what he's saying is basically we need stories. We need to have context to what that gratitude means to us. And he talks about how it activates our prefrontal cortex. And it lights this up for us so we can relate to it. And it has a more lasting effect. It means more to us than just simply listing something out. Also, our brain can smell bullshit from a mile away, of course. So we have to practice gratitude in a genuine way. If we don't like our home, telling ourselves, I'm so grateful for my home, I'm so grateful for my home, I'm so grateful for my home every single day has no significant, you know, we could find things we like about our home that are genuine, like, you know, I may not really like my apartment right now, but I'm really grateful for my cozy bed and, you know, the way I've decorated it and made it mine. We can't bullshit ourselves into believing that we're grateful for something that we're not. So we need a story, we need context. It has to be genuine. So as I was listening to this podcast, I was like, okay, but what does this mean? Like, how would I practice gratitude in this new way? So a couple things can happen. We can remind ourselves of a time when we received gratitude from someone else to bring that feeling back. So let's say, and it has to be, again, a genuine sense of gratitude. So let's say we really did something great at work and our boss was so grateful that they gave us a big bonus or some sort of recognition and we were filled with genuine gratitude. Coming back to that story for ourselves, when we received gratitude and getting in that feeling and walking through those steps of how I felt before that gratitude happened, mm-hmm. how I felt during, and how I felt afterwards, that is the effective practice. So it does have to do with feeling, but we need to go back to a story of when we received gratitude.
Oh, that is so interesting.
Another way we can do this is to listen or read inspiring stories. So we don't have to relate to the story. It doesn't even have to be our story. It doesn't have to be a story where we directly relate it to. In examples of some of the studies is that people were watching stories from people who had survived the Holocaust, had survived other instances of genocide or war, and they were telling the story of somebody coming to help them and the gratitude they felt for that person. And it was an inspiring story of somebody going out of their way, they didn't have to, going to help somebody and take them out of a bad situation and into a good. And you know, like there's all these, we like to watch like families reuniting after like a parent has been away at war and coming home, these inspiring stories. So you would do the same thing. You would take note of what was the struggle, how you felt and how this person would have felt before they were helped, how you felt before learning like what the good piece of news was, you how they were helped and how does it make you feel to watch that instance? Your heart is warm, your heart is glowing, you see that there's good out in the world.
Yeah.
So this is the effective way to practice gratitude, which I thought was so interesting. It doesn't have to be looking around and saying, I'm grateful for Boo, I'm grateful for Juliet, I'm grateful for Craig, I'm grateful for, you know, the beach across the street from my home. That actually doesn't do much for us. It's that we have to hear a story. We have to relate to a story. You don't have to relate to the literal story of like, I went through that too, but it gives our brain context and we are able to connect. And through this, we find greater happiness. We become closer to ourselves. We become closer to others because we witness good around us, moments of being helped, being appreciated. And this is what activates your neural circuits to wire yourself to be happy.
There's an Instagram account that I follow, and I think it's called Good News Movement. And every day there's a different video of somebody saves the dog from the river, or I mean, it's just, it's all, or the teacher who worked for 40 years, they do something amazing for her. Like,
yeah.
And it always makes me feel so good.
And that's an effective gratitude practice. So he said that you should do this 3 times a week at minimum, and that you can choose one story, whether it's a story where you felt appreciated, where you received gratitude. Maybe your partner did something really lovely for you, someone at work, someone out in the world. Or it can just be a story you choose. The first time you approach this story, spend more time with it, write down those bullet points of the before, during, and after feelings. And then after that, you can literally spend 1 minute, 60 seconds, 3 times a week, revisiting that story and just moving through those feelings. And that's your gratitude practice.
Oh my gosh, that feels like a relief for me, because there is something about the way we were taught how to be grateful that sometimes can feel a little bit like a chore. Like, okay, let me sit down, let me list all the things.
Well, and sometimes
am I doing it right?
Sometimes it feels difficult to find what to be grateful for if you're going through a hard time. Mm-hmm. And so this really puts it outside of yourself. And I just love that it doesn't have to do with us. It's a very, it goes to show how important, community is and how important, other humans are to us, which I think is really sweet, the effect of gratitude practice is to look out into the world and find proof that there's good and that people help each other and that, people are so grateful for other people. And it makes you go, oh, I'm not alone. I'm not, mm-hmm. I thought that was really freaking cute, that the science of gratitude is that it's actually not about us. It's about looking outward and finding that gratitude out there.
So this holiday season, mm-hmm. whatever you celebrate or don't celebrate, practice gratitude in this new way and circle back. Let us know how this goes and how this feels. It's sort of like how it tends to feel better to give a gift than receive a gift. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because when somebody's like, oh my gosh, thank you, that feels so good.
Right. You were just saying how mm-hmm. Victor was so grateful for his birthday gift. Yeah. It's like that is a story you could revisit as your gratitude practice was the way he sent you a long text afterwards and his reaction. And that's going to be scientifically an effective gratitude practice for you to revisit those feelings.
How interesting.
Right?
Oh, I love this. You know, here on Goddess Hangs, we're always learning along with you.
We're always learning. I love it. You know, I love the science of things. And like I said, Huberman Lab, it was the podcast I listened to. If you want to go way more in depth here, way more details about the studies. But and he has so many cool things about so many different topics. Very smart guy. So I'll try to remember to link the podcast. I know I typically forget. We'll see what happens. I'll try to make a note. Huberman Lab. Look that up.
There's no link. Just look up Huberman Lab. I'm going to tell you right now.
He's great. So informative. I love learning stuff like this because to me too, it's like, I guess it's what this was all about is that I need the context to why I'm doing something and why it works, right? Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the way I like to teach about spell work and magic, I love to tell you the science behind why it works, because to me, I need to have the basis of why I'm doing what I'm doing. And the same with anything. It's if I'm taking a supplement, if you just hand, I go to my Ayurvedic doctor and he says, take this, this, and this, I have to look up what each of the, he doesn't tell me typically. He's just this is what you need. But when I look them up and I go, oh, this is going to help my skin. Oh, this is going to help my anxiety. I'm if I have no idea, I have no context, I have no relatability to say this is why I'm taking this, right? Yeah. It's I want to know why. So I love tell knowing why and how gratitude is so effective.
Tell her why.
Tell me why. So that's gratitude. So when you're practicing gratitude this week or in the coming holiday season, remember to look outside of yourself. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If you are doing a Thanksgiving dinner with your family, what could be, my family always would go around and each say something we're grateful for, but it would be kind of a cool way to flip it and say something that you're grateful for outside of yourself rather than in your own life or directed at each other. Mm-hmm. Go around and say something you're grateful for each person so that you can receive gratitude from each other. That would be really cool.
I love that. And with everything, if you like the old way and it works for you, keep doing that. Yeah. Do a little of both.
I like using it still as a manifesting tool. Mm-hmm. I think I'm still definitely going to, I don't think it takes much time to list out once in a while what you're grateful for. So it's not saying that that's bad.
This is just more scientific.
Yes. It's just going to be more effective for the overall happiness and getting those benefits from a mental and physical perspective from gratitude. But I still enjoy writing out those lists. So I'm going to do both.
The more the merrier when it comes to gratitude. I'm feeling very sing-songy today.
So, we learned about gratitude. Let's revisit the topic of boundaries, because we're going into a season where we're going to be probably seeing our family a bit more than usual, at least for some people. And that is wonderful, and we're grateful for that. But it also, especially if you have a big family, you know, that can be stressful. It can be draining. And so let's talk about some of our own tips, what we like to do when we're in big family gatherings.
Oh my gosh. My favorite tip is deflect. I believe we said this last year. I think we can, even as grown adults, feel this pressure, like we have to tell adults that are older than us, we have to answer every single question they ask. You know, fully, completely pour our heart out, because it's that thing of like, well, they were 30 when I was 10, so I'm still a kid, but now I'm 30 and they're 50, and, you know what I mean? And it's like, there sometimes that dynamic still exists, where the older adults have a lot to ask and want to know a lot of intimate details. And this is something that I am still working on. So my favorite tip is, you do not need to share anything, disclose anything, explain anything that you're not comfortable disclosing, sharing, or explaining. And as a little bit of a side note detour, and then I'll come back, this goes for social media too. Just in terms of privacy and comfort in general, I was really pondering this last night, that anything you're going through at any given time, whether it's you know, a physical struggle, a mental struggle, a financial struggle, whatever you're going through, if you don't want to share it on your public social media for thousands of people to see, you don't have to. It doesn't make you any less authentic or sincere. And the same goes with family gatherings. If you don't want to share certain aspects of your life, especially going to the holidays as a witch, you don't have to. You don't have to. And it's good to have some little phrases in your back pocket, so you can either laugh off a question like, oh my gosh, it's so funny and silly and I don't want to get into it. Like, or, oh, I'd rather not talk about that. Like, I would much rather hear about the new house you moved into. Tell me all about it. Like, I'm really good at, well, usually, not always, flipping it back on the other person, because people love to talk about themselves. It's everybody's favorite topic. So just know that if at any point you're like, I don't really want to talk about my spiritual beliefs or how I voted or how much money I have in my savings account, like, I don't know what it is with boomers feeling like they can just ask everything. It's fascinating to me that there's just no boundaries there, but we get to create our own boundaries and share as much or as little of our lives as we want. Even if we share, like Sadie and I are very publicly witches. Sadie and I very publicly have other things in our lives that are personal that you all know about. I still don't owe an explanation or a conversation about that to my third cousin or my great uncle. Like, you, you're allowed to create boundaries in a loving, kind way.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that one thing that I like to do if I'm going to be in a big family gathering, and I know there's particular people there that can stress me out or push my buttons, is that I will sort of communicate with, you know, someone that I'm close to that does not make me feel any of those things and say, can you keep an eye on me if I'm talking to this person and read my body language and come interrupt if things look stressful. And that's something that I've done with, you know, the larger family gatherings, just confiding in, you know, a cousin I am close with and just being like, you know, if you see me wrapped up over here, can you come join that conversation so it doesn't get too personal and things like that. So I would almost call that like having like an anchor in those bigger family gatherings, whether that's a sibling or one of your parents. But, you know, there's certain family members that like to pry a little bit more than others, are a little bit more opinionated. And I love them and I want to see them. But, you know, I have that boundary where I'm like, I don't want to go too deep with you. I don't want to share that much with you. I don't want to hear what you have to say about certain things. Mm-hmm. And so having someone that you can, and, you know, maybe that person feels that way about someone else in the family or that same person, where you can just sort of make an eye contact and
do the little ear tug, but have a signal.
Yeah, it makes me feel safe. It makes me, you know, be a little bit more open and have a little bit less of a guard up, because I know that like, oh, this person can come join the conversation and make it about all of us rather than my life. So that's something that I find really helpful. If you have somebody that you feel really safe and really comfortable with, to just say like, you know, hey mom or hey brother or whatever, like, you know how grandpa stresses me out when he brings up politics, or you know how, you know, aunt so-and-so likes to pry about my relationship or whatever. Can we just have the signal, and can you come interrupt if it looks like I'm feeling a little stressed? And that way you can just have that extra sense of, you know, safety and still see those people and enjoy your time with them, but know that somebody's ready to swoop in.
I love that.
If things get a little tense.
I was just thinking of some common questions that may come up around the holiday season. So, are you seeing anyone? There's that one. Or, so, when are you getting married?
My grandma likes to grab my hand and go, still no ring. Been doing that for about 10 years.
Oh my gosh, you can go, oh my God, grandma, you are so observant. The pie's in the oven, and then walk away. I like to deal with things going, ah, ha, 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 and then leave. Oh, so the primaries just happened. How did we all voted for the same guy, right? In that instance, I might just go, yeah, and walk away. Yeah. I don't want to talk about it. Family is such an interesting thing, because with your friends, you really do get to choose who you spend time with and where your energy goes. And family, y'all just happen to be related to the same couple of people. And so sometimes there are just people there where you're like, if this was a friend group, I would not be hanging around this person.
Yeah, I used to be really pushy about like political stuff in some of my family members and trying to get them to understand.
Oh,
and
good luck.
You know, I got older and wiser, and I was like, I'm not gonna change their mind.
No,
you know, I gave it the good old honest try. So now I usually just shut my pie hole and just don't participate in the conversation.
You know, it's this interesting thing where I used to like feel like it is my job to change the mind of my family members who are nearing 70, like their political opinions.
It's really just the older
mind.
Family.
They're not going to change their mind. And it's like everyone gets hurt at the end of that conversation. And, you know, whatever. But are there any other things that you... At the end, I want to conclude with the little ditty I wrote in the car, but I'm not ready yet. Let's talk a little longer. So here are some things. Here are some things you can have in your back pocket. Things that are appropriate to ask about, okay? Mm. If somebody says, oh, I saw you decorated the den, we can talk about decoration.
Love
weather.
That.
Weather's always a good, safe topic. Mm-hmm. Maybe a football game, if that doesn't get too touchy.
Look up some stats beforehand.
Yeah. maybe a concert somebody went to recently.
Mm-hmm.
Cousin Dave got a new job. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I think for me, I would always get, and it's still kind of annoying, just everyone asking, like, how's work going? How's job going? Now it's like, how's your business going? What is that? What is it anyways? And it's like, it's great. Thanks for asking. So
yeah,
just be feeling, it is hard because like it's so weird when you're around family. Like, it's, at least for me, it's easy to go into oversharing mode.
Yeah, me too.
And then I always regret it. So just practicing, maybe you can look in the mirror and practice short answers. Write them out ahead of time.
Ooh, you know what's a good one? Let's say somebody asks about work and you don't want to talk about work, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can say, oh, it's going good. But you know what? I started taking a pottery class.
Yeah.
I started taking yoga because there's more to us than just how we earn our money, right? So think about some things that you would like to talk about instead. Mm-hmm. Classes.
Mm-hmm.
The Harry Styles concert. I heard he dressed up as Danny Zuko and looked very tasty. All ages can appreciate that.
My family would be like, who's Harry Styles?
Oh, no. Your grandma would like Harry Styles.
Yeah, probably. I had another one I get asked? Yeah, when it comes to, like, being pushy about relationships, like, my family's, you know, mostly still very Catholic, and, like, you know, I live with my boyfriend, we're not married, that's like a no-no. They're okay, like, but my grandparents don't really like to, they pretend they don't know we live together.
That's so funny.
Which is fine. And you know, I think too, this comes with, like, being from, like, a smaller town, like, everyone marries quite young. It's just, you know, and I'm just not a traditional lady. I'm not that concerned with, you know, I want to have a party. I want a pretty ring, but I'm not like that concerned of the overall concept of marriage. Like, I'm like, Craig and I's lives are completely intertwined. We've lived together for years now. Like, it would be very messy and complicated to separate. Like, we're basically married, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, I'm not super concerned with that. And so when conversations like that come up, like, why aren't you, will you ever be, like, where, you know, I know there's a little more juice behind just like, how's it going,
right?
That's another too, where it's like, okay, like, can I plan ahead of time and decide how I'm going to spin that, you know? And usually I just try to make it interesting, where I'll be like, oh yeah, Craig and I, well, you know, he travels so much on tour because he's a big comedian, and then that gets very exciting for them, and
mm-hmm.
I can just spin it around to that. So just sort of anticipating, like, those questions that you're looking forward to the least, because we all know what they are for each of us. They all get asked every single year, and deciding ahead of time, like, this is how I'm gonna deflect, this is how I'm gonna spin that, this is how I'm gonna keep it short, because in the moment, a lot of us feel like a deer in headlights.
Oh, I certainly do.
And we start pouring out our heart and soul, and then guess who has a lot of opinions on how we really feel? Is everyone in the family.
Ay, ay, ay.
So I think it's just taking some time to, yeah, like, plan ahead a little bit. You know, I like to, you know, my family's like, why does she have to go to the bathroom so much? But sometimes I'm just like, oh, you know what? I got to go to the bathroom.
That's a good one. I've done that a few times where
I'm always like,
I need to use the restroom, if you'll excuse me.
I'm always like, oh, once I start drinking, because, you know, we'll, like, sip on wine at, you know, Christmas dinner. I'm like, oh, once I get this wine in me, I just can't stop going to the bathroom. I'm like, I don't have to go. I'm just going to go in there for 5 minutes and wash my hands, cleanse the energy. And when you get back, they've started talking to somebody else about something else.
Yes.
And,
you know, it's interesting, like, you know, perhaps these are more avoidant tactics.
Yeah,
right?
But
I personally, I don't want to start a conflict with a family member on a holiday when we're supposed to just sit around and eat food. I just don't want to be like, actually, that's deeply personal, and I would really rather not answer that. Because yeah. I think at the heart of it, people are trying to take an interest in our lives.
Yeah.
They're trying to, you know, spend time with us. Like, I assume in most situations, of course, not all, there's like, I'm just trying to talk to you and find out about your life.
Yeah.
So just be prepared.
They don't mean harm. They're curious.
Very curious.
But yeah, it's like,
especially if you're like the interesting one in the family.
I know. I'm like, my grandma's like, so I'm the Hollywood granddaughter. Oh, so
Hollywood Sadie is what they call her.
Dating the magician.
The magician.
Now whenever I see my grandma, she goes, I remember that he's not a magician, and I did tell everybody that he's a comedian. And I'm like, great, grandma. I think I already told this. Oh, my grandma Olsen's a town gossip. Uh-huh. She needs to know everything about everyone. And whenever I hang out with her, like, I have no idea who these people are. But she lives out in the country, and she lives right next door to the farm that you know, my dad grew up on, and all of the farms around her now have been bought up by like Amish and Mennonite families. And she loves being a part of their lives. She helps them all the time, and they pay her in like eggs and baked goods and all this stuff, which are so good when we get to have them. But, you know, I'm just hearing all the hot gossip about what's going on with the different Amish families.
Amazing.
It is so hilarious and fun. Maybe this Christmas I'll try to,
oh my
just
God,
get a
can you
voice
get a little
recording.
Interview with Grandma?
Yeah, I should. And be like, okay, Grandma Olsen, tell us about what's going on. And
oh my gosh, I would love that.
Going on Hinetown Road. That's what the
Hinetown?
Hinetown is the dirt road that my dad grew up on.
Oh my gosh, this could be a little book series. Happenings on Hinetown Road.
The hot goss from Hinetown Road. Clark County, Wisconsin.
Oh my gosh. She's like Lady Whistledown from Bridgerton.
Yes.
She knows everything.
But with that, I have to remember that everything I tell Grandma Olsen.
Oh, the whole town.
That side of my family is huge because she had 9 children. They, you know, my dad has 9 brothers and sisters, or 8. He's of 9, and that's they all have a million kids, and then the grandkids all have a million kids now. Which she's also the, like, my grandma went for the smaller side of the family, which is still quite large, but she never bothers me about if or when I'm gonna have kids or anything like that. Grandma Olsen, who has literally 100 combined grandkids and great grandkids. Is like, Sadie, when's it gonna happen?
And I'm just letting her down.
I'm like, you have literally 100 of us. How could you possibly need more?
It's just not.
I don't even know all the great
great
kids.
The family,
right? But when she asks me that stuff, I think it's cute, and I'm not offended at all. But it's charming, you know. But. But yeah, what I was gonna say is about, you know, being avoidant is that it's like. A lot of these holiday gatherings, you know, at least for some of us, not everyone, but I'm, you know, traveling from far away, coming home, and it's like, I see my immediate family more often, but a lot, like, uncles, cousins, aunts, I'm seeing those people maybe once, maybe twice a year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm like, I'm not going to be like, let me really face this emotionally charged question with you. Let me dig into it. It's like, no, like, I'm just going to avoid, and you know, I'm gonna, if I have something with my brothers or a cousin I'm close with that I feel like I want to dig into deeper with, I'm not gonna avoid things with the people I'm close to and that I see more. But yeah, like, I'm not gonna get emotionally charged with my grandparents who are in their 80s or with aunts that I see once a year. Like, why would I do that? Why not just avoid a little bit and enjoy my time?
And you know, on the car ride or the plane ride there, come up with 3 to 5 stories that you would love to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, dating's fine. I'm, you know, I'll meet somebody, but let me tell you,
mm-hmm.
This reminds me of this other story that I want to talk about and will be the shining star of this party talking about this event.
Imagine that you are seated here on this podcast with us. And just like every week I say, Juliet, what's new with you? It's me and Juliet saying, hey, what's new with you? And you have come up with 3 to 5 exciting stories to tell us about what's new with you.
Mm-hmm.
There's your homework for the week.
Yeah, just imagine.
Just imagine it's us asking, what's new with you?
Let us know if these tips were helpful, or, you know, I hope that they serve as a relief, mm-hmm. because I just don't think everything needs to be a big deal conflict, especially when we're dealing with, you know, older souls. Mm-hmm. We share what we feel comfortable sharing, and yeah. we don't share what we don't feel comfortable sharing.
Take care of your energy. If you have someone that you feel really comfortable and safe with, have that anchor available to you at the big family gathering. Go to the bathroom when you don't want to talk anymore.
An avoidant witch's guide to getting through the holiday season.
And I genuinely do, like, I'll, like, go wash my hands. I'm like, it's like my, like, little cleansing ritual. Like, okay, I'm washing this funky energy. I'm not going to be emotionally charged anymore. You know, if someone triggers me, I'm like, okay, I'm washing this off and I'm going to go out with a smile and I'm not going to bring it up. And I'm like, I'm good now. You know, just taking that few moments and doing a little something that makes you feel like, whew, I'm grounded again. It's really powerful.
I saw these sweaters that maybe like memes are, like one of these meme companies is printing, but they're printing it in every version. So there's one with like a Thanksgiving turkey that says vaccinated and ready to party. And then another one that says not vaccinated and ready to, and either way, it's going to upset somebody. I was like, that's a brave person who wears either one of those to a family gathering. Oh my goodness. Okay, so here's the song.
Oh yes, what's our song to get us through the holidays?
It is To the Melody of No by Meghan Trainor.
Oh, okay.
Do you know that song? My name is No. My sign is No. Oh, my number is No. Mm-hmm. You need to let it go. Okay.
I just listened to an interview with her. That was very good.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she's very inspiring.
I love Meghan Trainor.
Me too.
And she's like one of the biggest selling pop artists and somehow like gets kind of overlooked in a way. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain it, but she's amazing. Okay. So I pull out a piano.
I wish I had like a
Bells.
I wish I had some. Yeah, what's that circular thing that
a tambourine?
I wish I had a tambourine. I'm gonna motion it. If you're watching, I'm.
Okay. Yeah. Keep the beat. Dun, dun, dun. All my witches, listen up. If family's not giving up, stand your ground when they're in town, girl. All you've got to say is. My witchcraft, no. My relationship, no. My choices, no. You need to let it go. Need to let it go. Need to let it go. Not to the I, to the O, no, no. My love life, no. The way I voted, no. Anything I don't want to talk about, no. You need to let it go. Need to let it go. Need to let it go. Not to the I, to the O, no, no.
We need to clip this up and tag Meghan Trainor in it. Yes. This is so good. That was amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Play it again. Just kidding. Rewind.
Just, you know what? You want to hear it again? Go back about 32 seconds.
Okay, I'm going to get an actual tambourine. We're going to record a real version of this.
We could do it. We'll get some instruments. We'll find a karaoke version of the song.
We'll get
my witchcraft. No.
Karaoke machine.
My open relationship. No.
No.
My income. No. You need to let it go. Need to let it go.
So good. Oh my gosh. Well, enjoy this holiday season. Let us know if you have any of your own tips for boundaries during the holidays. If you're on YouTube, you can comment them below or send us a DM with your brilliant ideas. We'd love to hear them. Remember that you can always join us in the coven, which is your space for meeting other witches, hanging out with us, joining us for two powerful moon rituals every month around the new and full moon. And brand new, you can join us in the psychic circle if you're excited about intuitive and psychic development. Meet with us twice a month, connect with other people who are developing their intuitive skills, and it's going to be so powerful and fun. Our oracle decks, two of them that we created, are also purchase. We've got the Quantum Goddess holographic,
the so pretty and magic shiny oracle. You can catch us every Tuesday at, well, not, well, yes, well, most pretty much Tuesdays. Every Tuesday. Check our Instagram at 3 p.m. Pacific. We do free live readings and we hang out and you get to see these decks up close. They're so beautiful.
And on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific on TikTok as well. So mm-hmm. there's two opportunities every week to hang out with us on live and get a free mini psychic oracle reading. Make sure you're following us on social medias, TikTok and Instagram. We're at Goddess Hangs, and I'm at I am Sadie Olson on Instagram.
I'm at Juliet.Piper.
And enjoy your holiday. We're so grateful for all of you.
We really are.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. Bye.